Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent from the Immigration Naturalization Service. And in the second hour, Selwyn Duke with all of his greatest. He's a writer for The New American. Well, in the news, a suburban Los Angeles mega church will get $800,000 in the state of California and Los Angeles County after state and federal courts issued permanent injunctions over COVID-related restrictions on houses of worship. The county's Board of Supervisors voted to approve a settlement with Grace Community Church in Sun Valley and its pastor, the Reverend John MacArthur, 81, popular Christian radio broadcaster. The county will pay $400,000 for the church legal fees, while the state contributes another $400,000, according to the church attorneys. Los Angeles-based City News Service reported the county had already spent $950,000 on its own legal fees in the matter, and that its $400,000 settlement payment would come from the county's public health funds. The battle between Grace Community Church, located in Sun Valley, and the state has been ongoing since the start of the pandemic. Mr. MacArthur rallied against restrictions imposed on in-person church gatherings, which he said were not applied equally to non-religious gatherings. The city of Los Angeles responded by threatening the church with daily fines of $1,000 and Mr. MacArthur with arrest. Well, the county then canceled a 45-year-old parking lot lease the large congregation depended upon, a move rescinded as part of the settlement, attorneys said. The Thomas More Society, good for them, nonprofit law firm specializing in religious issues, represented the church and Mr. Author. Well, Republican Representative Devin Nunes argued a month ago that he expects the Justice Department Special Counsel John Durham to release a damaging report on the FBI's failed investigation into Donald Trump's alleged ties with Russia. Nunes asserted at the time that prison sentences could fall on a number of former senior Obama officials. Now, Nunes worries that the report will ever see the light of day. In an interview with Newsmax, Nunes said Attorney General Merrick Garland seems to be the kind of a puppet for the left and questioned whether he'll bury the report. Back in February, during his confirmation hearing, Garland refused to definitely say that he would make Durham's final report available to the public. And during an interview last month with Sarah Carter, Nunes said he thinks prison sentences could fall on a number of former senior Obama officials. Quote, Nunes is one of the few members of the Republican Party that still believes justice will be served. He laid out his reasons on the Sarah Carter Show and said he hasn't given up faith in Durham's investigation, despite the enormous speculation that the Durham investigation will fail to deliver justice, Carter said. Durham was appointed to last October by then-Attorney General William Barr to serve as special counsel to look into the origins of the FBI's since-tarnished investigation into Trump. And during the course of the DOJ probe, numerous FBI officials who worked under President Obama were fired or resigned from their positions. The length of the investigation has prompted many Trump supporters to lose hope in the Department of Justice's ability to prosecute those responsible for the probe if it is proven to have been manufactured as a political attack on Trump with any basis in reality. Quote, where's John Durham? What happened to William Barr? What about the report? Carter asked. Nunes responded by saying that he expects the report to be delivered and fully expects those responsible for the probe to be charged. Quote, I just have to have faith, ultimately, that there was a special counsel created. Durham does have the power. We're fully expecting him to deliver the report, said Nunes. And he added, at the time, it may not be as broad as we want it to be, but look, there are some major perpetrators, and I think, as you and everybody else knows, we've made over 14 criminal referrals, and that doesn't mean 14 individuals. That means 14 different criminal referrals involving multiple individuals, and this is one of the challenges. Retired Navy SEAL Representative Dan Crenshaw, Republican Texas, ripped House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Fox and Friends this week for shutting down a bill accountability from the Biden administration on the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, resulting in his call for whistleblowers to come forward with the real story on the evacuation. Dan says, leading up to this, we've tried everything we could. We tried to get the Biden administration to not engage in such a silly plan, right? We tried to prevent this from happening. That didn't work. As they followed through with it, we tried to get them to fix it, you know? Republicans were on the House floor asking for unanimous consent that we vote on a bill that would simply demand that the administration give us a plan for getting Americans out, getting our equipment out, and not recognizing the Taliban. There was nothing partisan about that at all, but Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats refused to even allow to vote on it. They want no accountability whatsoever. They don't even want to fix the problem or admit that there is a problem. So now we're moving into the accountability phase. That's going to be difficult because we're in the minority, Democrats in the majority. They might have some show hearings, but they really have no intention, as they've already shown, of holding this administration accountable. Well, a group of Republican lawmakers has sent an open letter to House Speaker Pelosi calling on her to immediately begin impeachment proceedings against President Joe Biden. This letter was sent out Monday evening, called on the speakers to hold Biden in account for abandoning hundreds of American citizens in Afghanistan following his disastrous withdrawal from the country. Quote, the American people must have full confidence in their commander and the chief's judgment and ability to protect our country and respond decisively to national security threats. That came from Representative Claudia Tinney, Republican New York, Ronnie Jackson, Republican Texas, Jeff Van Drew, Republican New Jersey, Pete Sessions, Republican Texas, and Yvette Herold, Republican New Mexico, in the letter to Pelosi. We have no confidence in President Joe R. Biden's ability to carry out his duties as Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces. That was what they wrote. Quote, his unilateral, reckless decision to retreat from Afghanistan was done against the advice of the military and national security experts, and it has now put thousands of American military personnel, citizens, and Afghan allies in grave peril. They added, tragically, at least 12 members lost their life, actually 13, in the deadliest attack on the U.S. forces in the last decade. Quote, President Biden refuses to take responsibility for his actions and continues to mishandle the deteriorating situation at every step, they said. In addition, he has deliberately misled the American people in response to questions posed by the media. Free nations around the world look to the United States for leadership, and President Biden has proven definitely and repeatedly since this crisis began that he's not capable of effectively seeking and executing his duties as our commander-in-chief and leader of the free world. And then it goes on, as members of Congress, we have the duty to oversee the executive branch and provide for the common defense of the United States of America. The letter concluded, we do not have confidence in President Biden's ability to continue serving as Commander-in-Chief. It is after much consideration and with heavy hearts at the current state of our nation that we call upon you, Speaker of the House of Representatives, to begin impeachment proceedings immediately. Yes. Are we talking about Miss Nancy there, you know, tear up the report and all this other stuff and don't wear a mask when nobody's... Yeah. We'll see how it goes. How far? And, of course, more news on the same subject after the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan by the Joe Biden administration. Afghans now arriving in the United States with no documents whatsoever. Sources with knowledge of the resettlement program being done by Biden's administration said that refugees are arriving at Dulles International Airport in Virginia having no paperwork. Some Afghans fleeing their home country have arrived in the United States without paperwork amid the rapid pace of the evacuations, according to sources familiar with the situation. There were Afghan nationals stuck at Washington Dulles International Airport, where evacuation flights have landed over the weekend between 8 and 12 hours. Because of vetting challenges, lack of paperwork, while Customs and Border Protection officers sorted through how to handle the arrivals, one source said. The approach from the administration has been, quote, get as many people on the plane as you can, and we'll sort out the immigration visa stuff later. And the source added, pointing out the rush to get people out of Afghanistan after the U.S.-backed government there collapsed. Some people have landed with no documents whatsoever, creating a very challenging work environment for the officers. The Afghans who were put on the evacuation flights were screened overseas in places like Germany and Qatar, and again when they arrived in the United States, accordingly. Pentagon said that 52 of the 7,000 Afghan refugees have been flagged for further security screening. Wow, okay. We'll see where that leads. Defense One reported that the evacuee from Kabul was detained in Qatar for possibly having ties to the Islamic State screeners, and this was in Qatar. Detected at least one Afghan who was evacuated from Kabul Airport, and he has potential ties to ISIS. That from a official, Defense One. And moreover, the Defense Department's automated biometric identification system has flagged up to 100 of the 7,000 Afghans evacuated as prospective recipients of special immigration visas as potential matches to intelligence agencies' watch list. Wow. Well, at least 6,000 fleeing Afghans have been evacuated to Al Udeidah, and thousands more have been flown to other temporary staging bases throughout the Middle East and Europe by U.S. military aircraft. At those bases, Customs and Border Patrol screeners are checking evacuees' IDs, biometric data against law enforcement databases. Quote, there's certainly been a number of them who triggered alerts requiring agents to pull those evacuees aside for further screening, the first official said. And in most cases, those Afghans, many of whom have already been vetted through the special immigration visa process, were cleared by follow-on screening. All right. Well, let's see. Hillary, yes. Hillary Clinton and her former aide, Huma Abedin, are providing that no number of scandals, failed president campaigns, and tell-all books can come between their longtime friendship as they reunited in the Hamptons to enjoy a leisurely lunch. Clinton, 73, Abedin, 45, looked like the very best of friends as they joined several companions at the Carissa's, the bakery in East Hampton, where they were seen laughing and chatting over coffees and pastries while soaking up the sunshine at an outdoor table. And the former Secretary of State and her longtime aide look as though they had nary a care in the world, despite the fact that their outing comes just days before a new crime drama about Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky, due to be released, and 2 months before Abedin will publish her book. It's a candid tell-all book that will detail her marriage to disgraced ex-representative Anthony Weiner and her work on Clinton's failed 2016 bid. Oh, and if you could see the photos of what they're wearing, and boy, I mean, it was just, oh, just thrill you to death. Yes, all right. Mike Cutler, he's coming up next.
It's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Acclaimed actors James McAvoy and Sharon Horgan play a British couple struggling to keep their relationship alive in the face of a pandemic and a lockdown in the riveting drama Together, now playing in theaters.
They just announced the lockdown.
We're getting through it. I don't want to go back to normal.
And this remarkable film is far better than normal. With two superb performers seemingly trapped in their own kitchen over the course of more than a year and oscillating wildly between expressed hatred for one another and deep abiding love. With just two characters addressing the audience as if we were a visitor in their home, director Stephen Daldry, who previously created Billy Elliot, The Hours, and episodes of The Crown, avoids any hint of claustrophobia or gimmickry. It's rated R for loads of harsh language and vivid descriptions of death and suffering, but it's ultimately a profoundly uplifting film and probably one of the best of this year. 4 stars for Together.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Columbo's, since 1954, has been serving up fine dining in a relaxing atmosphere and all at an affordable price. Columbo's is still doing something right. It's why so many travel from the West Side and the Valleys to experience and enjoy what Eagle Rock has known for years. Columbo's is truly something special. Columbo's serves up some of the most succulent, delicious steaks, as well as outstanding seafood offerings in all of Southern California. And the Columbo family's Italian specialties are worth the trip from anywhere. Columbo's is a memory maker. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock, 323-254-9138. 323-254-9138. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, serving up fine dining and a relaxing atmosphere and all at an affordable price. Columbo's, of course.
CRN. I want to go to my guest, Michael Cutler. He's a retired senior special agent of the former INS, Immigration Naturalization Service. He also is host of the radio program, the Michael Cutler Hour. By the way, Mike has testified as an expert witness. We're going to talk about that at numerous congressional hearings on issues relating to the enforcement of immigration laws in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. You can find his articles at Newsmax, MichaelCutler.net, FrontPage.com, TheAmericanConservative.com, and USYNC.org. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Chuck? Happy Friday.
I'm just so-so, you know, kind of coasting down here and seeing what's going on. And I want to tell the listeners, if you're not familiar with Mike, Mike and I have been talking, oh, goodness, years and years and years. And Mike was actually right around New York City on the 9/11 attack, which is basically, what, about 7 days away, the anniversary of it, next Saturday. And, you know, and here the whole thing has now come to a finale, right? Joe Biden has pulled us out of Afghanistan. That is, a lot of us got out of there, I guess, right? But not everybody.
Not everybody, and it's like my mom said, it's not what you say, but how you say it, not what you do, but how you do it.
True.
So let me give you an analogy. Supposing we were on an airplane stuck in the holding pattern because the weather was lousy and everything was congested. We've all been there. If you travel frequently enough, we've all been stuck circling the airport. And imagine if someone said, I'd like to get this damn airplane on the ground immediately. And the pilot says, no problem, and he noses it over and crashes the airplane. Would he have succeeded in getting you on the ground?
Yes, yes.
Is it the way you wanted to get to the ground?
No, no.
think about that analogy.
I know.
You know, the terrorists, 19 hijackers on 9/11, barely out of their teens. These guys were mostly in their 20s. With box cutters, brought America to its knees, the world to its knees, changed the world irrevocably. Think about all that has changed since those 19 took over those four airliners. And by the way, they killed more people on 9/11 than we lost to the Japanese fleet at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, and the death count from 9/11 is continuing as people, mostly first responders, are now succumbing to illness because they ingested those toxins and the towers collapsed. And then along comes Joe Biden and finishes the job they started. The whole point to going into Afghanistan was to make certain Afghanistan would not be a sanctuary for the terrorists. The reason for going into Afghanistan was to capture members of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations to keep them off the battlefield. All right? Now, what have we done? We've turned Afghanistan back into a stronghold for the Taliban, and we had a general telling us they're going to partner with the Taliban. It's like the FBI or immigration saying they're going to partner with organized crime and alien smugglers. And by the way, we have. The Border Patrol is now moving illegal aliens that are trafficked across the border to bus terminals and train stations so they can head to the other parts of the country where they were destined, completing the human trafficking process. Think about that analogy. You have sanctuary cities that enable criminal and alien terrorists to hide in plain sight in violation of the 9/11 Commission findings and recommendations. We've turned Afghanistan into a sanctuary for the terrorists. And now they won't have to use box cutters because of Biden's duplicity, betrayal, incompetence. I don't know. Someone tell me what's going on between that man's ears. I'd love to know what's going on besides cartoons. So they now have billions of dollars in our best weaponry, and he calls it a success, and he calls this a, if this is what success looks like, folks, I want to know what a failure looks like.
You know, and there's another aspect too, and that is the fact that some of that equipment, you know, that we left behind, it went into Pakistan, and now they've got a lot of pictures and film of it showing up in Iran. Wow. Now, Iran definitely never has anything to do with terrorists, right? Yeah. Coming on up on that break there, just give you a heads up. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, and again, so we left them our technology. And, you know, if, by the way, if you sell parts to a gun to Iran or other countries on that list, you go to jail. People have gone to jail for selling rifles that wound up in Iran. We gave them billions of dollars of our best weaponry.
I guess.
And here we are.
I guess with a tank or an airplane or a Humvee, that's a little bit bigger than a rifle. Boy, I wonder when they're going to lock him up. Oh, that's right. Democrat Joe Biden. There won't even be a hearing. All right. Michael Cutler, we're going to be right back with more and talk about all the crazy stuff going on and all the different meetings we've had to talk about this.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Michael Cutler, retired special agent of the former INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service. And as I mentioned, Mike has testified at a lot of places, and he was testifying at the 9/11 Commission. And you know, that commission came down to, like, I guess you could call it a final thought or final statement. And I'm reading in your report, actually you've got it on twice. I'm going to do the one that's a couple of lines longer. And here's the 9/11 report. The findings and recommendations of the 9/11 Commission must be the starting point for any discussion about immigration legislation. That commission determined that a lack of border security, including the visa process and fraud in the immigration benefits program, enabled terrorists to enter and embed themselves in the United States as they went about their deadly preparations. Well, none of that going on now, huh, Mike?
No, and let me tell you, you know, we always talk about the fact that I was a special agent for 26 years, but before that I was an inspector at Kennedy Airport, an immigration inspector, and I spent a year as an adjudications officer. So let me let you in on a little secret. It only takes minutes to approve an application, but it could take days or weeks to deny an application. So when you hear these presidents saying, we're going to clear up the backlog, what they're really saying is, we're going to get out the approval stamp. Now, that brings us to Mr. Approval himself, Alejandro Mayorkas, who runs the Department of Homeland Surrender, as I've come to call it. Mayorkas was the Director of Citizenship and Immigration Services, believe it or not, under the Obama administration. So what happened with that business and you're going to be shocked, perhaps, maybe not, but the Office of Inspector General was contacted by the people who work for Mayorkas, and they said he's ordering us to approve applications that should never be approved. Mm-hmm. I spoke with a woman who ran one of his major offices, and she told me that she was demoted and told to work from home because she refused to approve petitions for visas that were unapprovable. She said, I'd have to violate the law, okay? And the Office of Inspector General did an investigation, and they found wrongdoing. And during the confirmation process, the Republicans, to their credit, raised the issue about the Office of Inspector General finding wrongdoing by Mayorkas, and the Democrats said, don't bother us with that nonsense. We approve him. Bango. He is now the guy calling the shots. The guy that said yes to yes. Now, I just want to read one quick thing to you here.
Okay, and before you do that, okay, before you do that, let me ask you this. I remember reading news stories where Mayorkas supposedly was getting some kickbacks on giving out visas, and I don't know if that's true or not, but then if that's true, here he is, like you say, the number one man now in immigration. Do you know if that's true or not?
Well, I don't know if that's true, so I'm not going to say that.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I am going to say that they discovered that he did politicize the process. It involved McAuliffe and the Clintons, okay, Terry McAuliffe. And here was an article that was posted by ABC News. You know, we hear about the mainstream media. But after 9/11, they were pretty darn good. You know, I did, I don't know how many appearances on MSNBC. I was on with Lou Dobbs at CNN at least once a week. So they were reporting, and then everything got shut down around the time that the Supreme Court decided Citizens United that said that unlimited amounts of money could be pumped into political campaigns. So now we have the best government money can buy. But yeah. ABC News said this. This was February 3rd, 2015. So that's not that long ago. Whistleblowers. U.S. gave visas to suspected forgers, fraudsters, and criminals. Internal documents show that the feds ignored warnings from the FBI, and this was because of Mayorkas. In fact, a month later, ABC News reported, this is March 24th, 2015, top Homeland official Alejandro Mayorkas accused of political favoritism. Okay? So now, let me just read this quick paragraph. Officials overseeing a federal program that offers an immigration shortcut to wealthy foreign investors have ignored pointed warnings from federal agents and approved visas to some immigrants suspected of having committed fraud, money laundering, and even one applicant with alleged ties to child porn websites, an ABC News investigation has found. The shortcomings prompted concerns within the Department of Homeland Security that the boutique immigration program could be exploited by terrorists, including internal documents obtained by ABC News. It's shocking, said Charles Grassley, the senator from Iowa, particularly when you have the FBI and other law enforcement agencies saying that national security could be compromised or is being compromised. That's enough for us to be concerned. And finally, feds investigating Iran ties to firm involved in U.S. visa program. Documents, Iranian operatives may be abusing the program to infiltrate the United States. Again, who was doing that? Alejandro Mayorkas. Who is now in charge of vetting the people coming out of Afghanistan? Alejandro Mayorkas. How's that for connecting the dots, Chuck?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I guess I wasn't too far wrong in that report that I kind of wondered about, you know. But sometimes it may be true, and then they'll say, no, that's fake news, fake news. But then you see all the ands, ifs, and buts, and you figure, I don't think so. I think it's they're hitting
the nail. And then you can look at the Inspector General report, and they determined there was malfeasance.
You know, morning I heard, Michael, that it's sort of like whoever's running America right now, instead of saying, you know, the Biden administration. Anyway, I guess it'd be, okay, the Biden puppet, whoever's in control.
Yeah.
They want to switch the scenario.
He's a marionette right now. Some days and a ventriloquist dummy on other days.
Yeah.
And he's a dummy on all days.
Yeah. They want to switch the overall scenario now and get off from Afghanistan, almost like, well, we're through, okay? What we got to talk about now again is global warming. Look what's happening with Hurricane Ida, and we need the infrastructure plan immediately, right now. We got to get it. And I love this thing where that I've got it hanging up somewhere, And it says, here they are, the experts, who can't, you know, defeat COVID-19. They're saying, listen, let us tax you a little bit more, and we'll control the weather.
It's beyond belief.
It's never beyond let belief. A crisis go to waste. That's what they're doing again. Now they're using the hurricane. Let's make them stop talking about Biden and Afghanistan, and let's talk about global warming. Oh, this is the first time we've ever had a hurricane, right? Yes, I'll tell you.
Well, and I was listening to Chuck Schumer, that whole collection of Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, now it's upon us, and we've got to act immediately. Right. And then he kept saying,
absolutely,
woe is us. Woe is, I never even heard that expression, you know, but that was Schumer out there peddling their garbage. By the way, one last thing from the ABC report, and I listened to this. They looked at one company in particular called Total Transportation Concepts. Now, I'm reading from ABC News. This is their words. The records show that TTC, Total Transportation Concepts employee, was suspected of ties to an Iranian terror network that was involved in bombing plots and in attempted assassinations. In 2012, federal investigators sent an email to immigration officials to advise them against recertifying American logistics to the immigration program, warning that an approval would likely have serious national security implications. Quote, I strongly advise against a favorable adjudication, wrote a Homeland Security special agent in the Counterproliferation Investigation Center, April 30th, 2012 email. But agents with Citizenship and Immigration Services moved forward and green-lighted American Logistics and Mahdavi to continue overseeing a designated regional center for a special immigration program for the EB-5 visa.
Hmm.
So
well,
how many more smoking guns do we have to give you? So here's my question, ladies and gentlemen. You know, politicians always like to say, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Are you safer today than you were 8 months ago or a month ago, considering what Biden has done? You know, and when he stood there and said, I did everything perfectly, my gosh. You know, I will tell you, when we did major field operations, not a single arrest, but a major operation afterwards, it was always a postmortem. We dissected it, and every time you figure out you could have done something better. Doesn't mean that the operation wasn't a success, but there was a danger here. There was an issue that didn't get addressed there. And we're always trying to sharpen our skills just the way a football team does, just like anything else. So you always find fault. Biden said this was perfect, perfectly executed. He got the sequence wrong. He pulled out the military, right, which meant that the civilians were on their own. They're still trapped, and he's lying about the numbers. He had a phone call. Trump was impeached for a phone call. Well, how about the phone call that Biden had with the former president of Afghanistan, where he told him to lie, right? He said, we know that the Taliban is on the move, but the world doesn't need to hear that. You need to get your story straight and tell them that everything is hunky-dory.
Yeah, he also used the words, proactive report, like everything is okay. Play down any problems we're having.
Yes.
I read the whole script, you know, and it's just... And I'm thinking, why is this guy not being, you know, called like Trump was on one little old phone call, you know?
Because Trump was not a globalist. And by the way, Bush gave us a nightmare. The way that Bush created the Department of Homeland Security violated the Homeland Security Act. It was never supposed to be two separate agencies of Customs and Border Protection and ICE. They were never supposed to blend other agencies in. And John Hostetler, the Republican chairman of the House Immigration Subcommittee, called Bush out. I was at that hearing. And he said that what the Bush administration gave us was immigration incoherence, making it impossible to secure the borders, enforce the law, or protect the American people. Within a couple of years, the Republican Party took away the money from Hostetler's reelection campaign. He lost reelection. The globalists are taking over America. And the Americans are dumb enough to buy it. Look, I didn't always agree with Trump. And, yes, I didn't like his way of speaking. And there were a bunch of stuff. But let me tell you what. I compare Donald Trump to a competent physician who has lousy bedside manner. He'll cure you.
Yeah.
So I will overlook the fact that the guy has terrible bedside manner. The guy that's in the White House now is bringing America to its knees. We've opened up the border. We have no idea who's flowing across the southern border. No one's talking about the other aspects. You were talking about visas. How many people are now getting visas under the Biden administration that shouldn't be getting visas? Think about Mayorkas running DHS and the people over at State Department, okay? How many people are being admitted at international airports who should not be getting admitted? So the visible nightmare is the Mexican border. But this country is leaking like a sieve. I keep making the point that we're a nation of 50 border states. We're giving citizenship to terrorists. And I can tell you that in the past, we've made mistakes where translators working for our military turned out to be terrorists. And I have case after case, and I've written articles about it over at Front Page Magazine. Yeah. So we've got to be careful, and we have no idea who we're admitting. And by the way, I've been told that biometric information about the people who cooperated with us was stolen when we gave up Bagram Air Base. So now the terrorists know who our people were that helped us. Their lives and their families' lives are in imminent danger, and they could assume those identities and claim to be them and easily fly through the so-called vetting process that's not a vetting process at all.
Wow. Sleep well. You know what I'm saying? You listen to your report, Mike, and I mean, it's
insane.
Yeah, you can't.
But I'm not giving you generalities. I'm giving you specificity. I want you folks out there to know something. America, since its founding, has never been at a greater risk for major terrorist attacks with a nest. And I can tell you, I had a big argument with the former counsel to the Judiciary Committee over in the House of Representatives before 9/11. Because I looked at the handwriting on the wall. I didn't know there were going to be airplanes being used, but I knew we were at risk. I was speaking with a whole bunch of my colleagues, and I called this guy up, and I said, what the blank will it take, another attack at the World Trade Center? Chuck, you know when we had that fight? The Friday before 9/11.
Really? And whenever Mike says another attack, because the first one is, what, 1993, I think?
Yes, 93. There were others also. You had the killing of a rabbinical student on the Brooklyn Bridge by an Arab.
Well, I was just talking about the Twin Towers, that there had actually been two.
Yeah, but you had the bombing. And by the way, if you look at what Sheila Jackson Lee had to say, and I hope everybody will go to my article at Front Page Magazine that we're talking about. Look at the quote from Sheila Jackson Lee. She went after Bush for not hiring the agents that Congress gave him the money to hire. She went after him for not acquiring the detention beds that Congress gave him to hire. And Jackson Lee said, you're endangering our safety, Mr. President. This was Sheila Jackson Lee. She was right on the money, and I testified for her at two hearings in the House of Representatives. Sheila, if you're listening, where the hell are you now, and how did you get there? Why don't you see it today when you saw it with such clarity in 2005 at that hearing?
You know, and let me see if I have time here. And you're also talking about immigration. You had three different deals. One, immigration, very important national security issue that cannot take the back seat to customs or agriculture. Two,
that
immigration,
was John
a very is that who said that?
Yeah.
These three?
John Hostetler,
okay.
The chairman of the committee.
Yeah.
Keep going. You're right.
Complex.
Finish it.
Yeah. Number two, immigration is a very complex issue, and immigration enforcement agencies need experts in immigration enforcement. And here's three. The leadership of our immigration agency should be shielded from political pressures to act in a way which could compromise the nation's security. Very good.
By the way, you know why I said that? Because Bush put people in charge of immigration who had zero immigration background and zero inclination to enforce the immigration laws. And Vice, by the way, just did it. I think it wasn't Vice. Oh, my goodness. I don't have the name off the top of my head. But they have whistleblowers saying that the culture at Citizenship and Immigration Services is to do exactly what Mayorkas said, approve everything and attack anybody who fails to approve applications for immigrant visas.
All right. Mike, going to take a break. We're going to be back, wrap things up with Michael Cutler. Don't forget frontpagemag.com. Most of what we're talking about you can find in his articles there. And he's also with the AmericanConservative.com, USYNC.org, Newsmax, and MichaelCutler.net. Be right back. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Davi fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Michael Cutler. Hey, and Mike, I want to read this thing here because it was right after you were talking about Sheila Jackson Lee, and where you state, even after the terror attacks of 9/11, increasing numbers of cities and even some states declared themselves to be sanctuaries for illegal aliens, and among them criminal aliens and terrorists, in directly contradiction to the findings and the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. You know, and you wonder, why do you have these commissions that are so important and these hearings? And, you know, do you ever just say, why do I even get up and talk and go to all of these important hearings?
You know, it's funny. Somebody said to me, why do you keep mentioning that you've been before Congress? It was on another program earlier today. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's not because I'm trying to tell you, look where I was or any of that other nonsense. It's that I feel as though I wasted my time. And it wasn't, you don't just walk into a hearing. I was making trips almost every week down to Washington. I spent hours every day on the phone with Washington. Back then, we had to pay for the long-distance calls. My phone bills were running to $500 and $600 a month, and my wife looked at me and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to prevent the next attack. And we were making some real headway. And then they came out with that finding about the Citizens United. I had somebody affiliated with the Chamber of Commerce, not for the National Chamber, but he was involved with an organization that worked with them. And he told me during a recess in a hearing that I needed to stop talking about border security because that border, while I saw it as our first and last line of defense for him, it was an impediment to his wealth. And he said, get over it. People are going to die. And I said, you know, if there's, God forbid, another attack, I have a prayer for you. He said, what's that? I said, I hope that the bad guys don't hurt a hair on your head. He said, you're very kind. I said, the hell I am. I want you alive so you can see your family vaporized inches from your ugly face. And the guy looked at me and he said, how would you like to step outside? They very quietly took off my jacket and he threw himself in his chair, and I didn't hear another squeak out of that imbecile for the rest of the day. What do you
think?
Were
you wearing a gun under your jacket?
No, I was not.
Okay.
And my first hearing I did, because I was on duty as an agent, this was after I left being an agent, and I was removed, you know, the day after I testified in November 2001 about immigration and the terror attacks. I was told that because of my leg injury, I was no longer physically able to be an agent, which was fine. It liberated me so that I could do all those hearings and all those appearances. Yeah. But it was clearly done to try to shut me up. But they were as good at shutting me up as they've been good at protecting America and securing our border. What do you think of that?
Yeah, really. Well, listen, I would assume, and you know how you break that up, yes, anyway, that
yes.
You'll probably be doing a report on 9/11, upcoming report on that.
I plan to, yes, and I want everybody to get involved. Folks, you got to have conversations with your neighbors. Don't talk about personalities. Talk about the issues. Talk about the way that America has been diminished by a president who apparently doesn't give a rat's tail about America or Americans, because if he did, those Americans who are now trapped behind enemy lines would not be there. That's my prime exhibit to tell you where this guy's head is at, probably between his cheeks, if you get my drift. This is a disaster, and the American people need to reach out to their elected representatives and make it clear that this is beyond the pale, and if this is supposed to be a country of the people, by the people, and for the people, we are falling way short of Abraham Lincoln's lofty aspirational vision of our nation.
Wow, there you go. It's amazing that it has survived as long as it has, and I think right now we're, I don't know, it's like titter-totter or whatever, you know?
Yes, it is.
At the
we are a nation at crossroads. We're a nation at crossroads.
There you go. Hey, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. We'll do it again, sir.
You
Michael
welcome.
Cutler. All right, frontpagemag.com. Make sure you got that one. Coming up next, Selwyn Duke.
CRN Digital Talk Radio prides itself on being the station of every.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy at the network, and we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let's see, I think I've got a holiday coming up, so the next time we meet, Encore, William J. Federer, ringing the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, a symbol of freedom, and Bruce Dietrich Price, K-12, the Contern gave us a century of ruthless all about the communists taking over our schools. Right now, I want to go to the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke, writer of The New American. Selwyn also contributes to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning, and he appears on many television and radio shows, but he only picks the very best. His website, selwynduke.com, and now, Selwyn Duke. Oh, my goodness. When did you write that song, Selwyn?
Well, I think when I was in the infantry, if you know what I mean.
When you were in the infantry and you said, yes, I got to come up with a theme song because no telling what my career will be. And there it is. He was going to be Johnny Carson, but he was not old enough yet, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad I'm with you, Chuck, because I lost power yesterday. You know, we had the remnants of that hurricane blow through here, I was out without power for about 16 hours. And it's just a good thing that I finished all my ice cream that morning, that I have all these bad habits, you know. But actually, okay, I'll just say, because I don't want to set a bad example for the kids. It was really just one Häagen-Dazs bar, so I was exaggerating. So, kids, eat your vegetables. Don't forget.
Yes,
all right, just have to say that.
Do you have a rubber raft or anything like that?
I've got a rubber ducky.
Oh, he plays with it in the bathtub, but he won't get outside during a hurricane. I think you're probably the type of guy that would get out in a hurricane. I'm that kind of guy, you know. I'm crazy because, you know, when I was in the Navy, it wasn't the hurricane, but it's the other thing, the cyclone or whatever they call it whenever you're on the other side of the equator. Oh. I think it's
monsoon?
I'm sorry? Monsoon? No.
Monsoon rain?
No, not the rain. Yeah. No, I'm actually talking about hurricanes, but they don't call them hurricanes. I think it's called something else, whatever I just said a while ago. Anyway.
Cyclone.
Yeah. Cyclones, yes.
I was on a ride called the Cyclone, I think, years ago.
Yeah.
But that's something different.
I think that was at Disneyland, maybe. I'm not. But anyway, I'm the type of guy that, you know, on the ship, I'd get out there, you know, and kind of tie myself down and watch what was going on, you know. I'm serious. I don't know.
No, I understand that. Now, storms are really very interesting. I mean, obviously, you don't want to be swept away, but that's why we've got these storm chasers who you see on TV. And I have to tell you the truth. I'm going to sound like a little kid here, but when the power first went out in the evening, it was sort of fun. I had my flashlights on, but it didn't remain fun for too long because I didn't have AC when I was sleeping at night. And I take my air conditioning, Chuck, very seriously. I've got to tell you that.
See, I thought you were leading up to the fact you didn't have any AC, so you couldn't write another award-winning column.
Well, I didn't have power for my computer. I couldn't get online,
See, I was checking because sometimes you send me one just, you know, just in time for me to almost get on the air. But so I think this is
yeah,
your
I want to keep you on your toes. You know, I know you think you've done all your prep, and then I send you an article, and I say, Chuck, don't forget this one now. And you say, I've got 45 seconds till I get on the air.
I know, and that happens quite frequently, or right after I've already gone on because, you know, the second-hour guest – we'll say, okay, I'm sending it to you at 9:30, you know, California time. Well, the show starts at 9, okay? And I don't have my email on because I have to look at the screen from the world-famous CRN network, okay? Now, let me ask you this. I'll check it out. Is the latest, does it start with COVID and the second word is and the third word not?
Oh, yeah. COVID is not an emergency. Yeah, no, it really is true. And transitioning to something very, very serious, COVID is not an emergency. That's the bottom line. And pretending otherwise is destroying our republic. And it really is. This is very, very serious. And I open saying Oceania was at war with East Asia. And that's from George Orwell's 1984. And Oceania had always been at war with East Asia. Why do I say that? Well, America is at war with COVID. America has always been at war with COVID. In other words, that's the kind of attitude now that's been foisted upon us, where we're acting as if this is some existential threat that must just consume our attention forevermore. And I cited here the Federalist's Molly McCann because she was writing about this, and she was very, very right. She said, if this deception isn't ended, I'm quoting her, it will, quote, end our constitutional order. And I point out, Chuck, look, I'm not saying the coronavirus isn't real. Of course it is. And if you're a vulnerable person, it can be a nasty bug. And the same is true of the flu, by the way. You know, I often cite the statistic that in 2017, 2018, that flu season, Chuck, the elderly were dying of the flu at the rate of 169 a day or 7 an hour for a few week period around January, February 2018. So, yeah, this is not really all that new. And yeah, coronavirus is real. It's as real as heart disease, which, by the way, kills every single year about 7 times as many people worldwide as COVID does. It's also COVID as real as cancer. And that, Chuck, claims almost 4 times as many victims. It's as real as drowning and vehicular accidents. And these two things, Chuck, if you're a child, are more likely to take your life than COVID is. But we still let our kids swim, right? We don't put them in roll cages in cars. But you know what some people do? They put them in masks in cars. That's how insane we've become. I was walking around, Chuck, just the other day. Beautiful sunny day. I saw this boy about 11 years old walking around alone with a mask on. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? Do his parents have any idea of the science behind this situation? I mean, that mask is bad for his health, and it's not going to prevent viral transmission. It just doesn't do that. Studies have shown that, especially these ridiculous store-bought masks that people get, the cloth ones. But anyway, this is very interesting because I personally, Chuck, and I don't think you can say anything differently, have never seen in my life personally a hysteria like this. I mean, this is the kind of thing you read about in history books, maybe the Salem witch hysteria or whatever it may be, but I've never experienced one like this. And I quoted Molly McCann, the woman I mentioned earlier, because she provided in her article in The Federalist the perfect example. She cited The Guardian discussing France's vaccine passport, and it perfectly epitomizes this hysteria with COVID. She wrote, quote, "The Guardian article describes the great plague that struck Marseille in 1720, the final contortion of the Black Death, noting that it, quote, killed more than half of the city's population. Struggling to find a delicate balance between halting the spread of the disease and damaging vital commerce, the city authorities, The Guardian tells us, ordered travelers to carry a bill of health, and ships arriving at the Mediterranean port underwent a 40-day cordon sanitaire, or quarantine, cordon sanitaire, I think they pronounce it. 300 years on, The Guardian seriously intones, President Emmanuel Macron is walking an equally tricky tightrope, unquote. And as McCann points out, Chuck, you know, hopefully you spotted the glaring problem with this comparison. In 1720, the Great Plague in Marseille killed more than half the city's population. And the point is that we've gotten to a point with this so-called pandemic, which really is not a pandemic anymore, where people are actually treating it as if it's a crisis on par with the Great Plague. But it's not. As McCann puts it, she writes, quote, "We have been buried in facts, figures, mountains of data, constantly shifting information, misinformation, and more. We are relentlessly briefed by the media about rising infection rates or the current capacity of local ICUs. And all of this, Chuck, is over a disease that has the following survival rates." I've quoted this before. According to the CDC, this was last October, if you're 0 to 19 years old and you contract COVID, your chances of survival are 99.997%. 20 to 49, your chances are 99.98%. So what do we have next? 50 to 69. 50 to 69, your chances are still, and this is a high-risk group, right? 99.5%. And again, that group contains people who often have quite a few comorbidities. So overall, we're talking about a fatality rate here that's less than one half of 1%. Now, McCann, Chuck, cites a higher figure. It's from Johns Hopkins, 1.7%. I think that's worldwide. But, you know, whatever the case, and I think that's on the high side, this data includes high-risk individuals. Here are some more statistics for you, okay? Quote, 95% of COVID-19 deaths in the United States have occurred among people who were over 50. That's from the AARP, American Association of Retired People. Quote, even though the majority of coronavirus cases have been reported in people under age 50. Not only that, Chuck, approximately 80% of the victims have been 65 plus, and the decedent's average age has been around 80. And not only that, 78% of the China virus victims have been overweight or obese. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying this because I want to write these people off. I mean, obviously, vulnerable people should be protected from COVID, the flu, whatever the case may be. But the point is that if you're not in a high-risk group, Chuck, your chances of dying of coronavirus approach zero. Zero. And as I said, if you're talking about children, their chances of drowning or dying in a car crash are greater. There are a multitude of things that are more likely to kill you if you're a healthy person. And there's more we can say about this. You know, I often cite this renowned COVID doctor, Peter McCullough from Texas. He is one of the most published experts in his field. Well, he stated quite a while back that 85% of the people who died of COVID could have been saved if we had established early on a proper treatment protocol. Okay? Not only that, where do we stand right now? Well, we have this Delta variant that everyone's talking about. The media make out as if, oh, this is the Black Plague again.
Yep.
It's surging. COVID is surging. Well, the Delta variant, according to a United Kingdom study, is 20 times less deadly than the original strain of the virus. So, really, this truck was never an emergency, to be honest with you. It was always overblown. But whatever it once was, it's certainly not an emergency now. It's not at all. But despite all this, and I'm going to quote McCann again here because she put it very, very well. She wrote, despite this, quote, we have all assumed roles in a live rendition of Hans Christian Andersen's folktale, The Emperor's New Clothes. The government plays the lying emperor whose hubris resulted in him parading naked in public while declaring he wore clothes. The American people play the silly subjects who disregarded reality to humor the monarch's farce. So she's absolutely right about that. And, you know, the problem, though, Chuck, is we could take this even deeper.
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Well, we do see hysteria from time to time. It's been a recurring theme throughout history because man is a very emotional being. You know, unfortunately, like it or not, people tend to operate based on emotion more than reason, a lot more than we might like. I mean, you just drive on the road, Chuck. This is one of my pet peeves. You know, you're in a traffic jam, and then you come to the source of it, and what is it? It's rubbernecking. It's a crash on the other side of the highway, and like children, people have to slow down to look at it, right? That's emotion kicking in. That's not being governed by reason. But then there's also perception. You know, we don't worry about heart disease, even though it kills many more people, as I said earlier. We don't worry nearly as much about cancer, even though it kills many more people. But that's because we're accustomed to those things. We're inured to them.
And hold it right there, because here's our music, and we'll get back to this. And, you know, when I listen to you and I just think about, yeah, but if all of this bad stuff wasn't here, look at all those little dictators all over the United States. Look at that power and the thing they hold there. Wow. Boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
All right. It's Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Acclaimed actors James McAvoy and Sharon Horgan play a British couple struggling to keep their relationship alive in the face of a pandemic and a lockdown in the riveting drama Together, now playing in theaters.
They've just announced the lockdown.
We're getting through it. I don't want to go back to normal.
And this remarkable film is far better than normal, with two superb performers seemingly trapped in their own kitchen over the course of more than a year and oscillating wildly between expressed hatred for one another and deep abiding love. With just two characters addressing the audience as if we were a visitor in their home, director Stephen Daldry, who previously created Billy Elliot, The Hours, and episodes of The Crown, avoids any hint of claustrophobia or gimmickry. It's rated R for loads of harsh language and vivid descriptions of death and suffering, but it's ultimately a profoundly uplifting film and probably one of the best of this year. 4 stars for Together.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, discussing COVID is not an emergency, and pretending otherwise is destroying the republic. Certainly is. Go ahead, Selwyn. We'll finish this one up.
Yeah, no, I was just saying before the break, Chuck, that people get used to certain risks. Cancer, car crashes, heart disease, and even though they may be far greater risks than COVID, they don't think much about those things because they're used to them. But COVID was sort of the new bad kid on the block, and the media, of course, played it up, as you know, because they wanted to defeat Donald Trump. That was one of the original motivations. There's no doubt about it. But now it's just become this boogeyman that everyone's supposed to fear. And you know, I also mentioned in my article that it's not really surprising, though, that people might equate, some people anyway, what's going on to Europe's Black Death, which killed, by the way, one quarter to one half of the population of Europe during the Middle Ages. Let's understand that. I mean, this was something where people really thought it was the end of the world. It was the end times. You know, for one thing, remember, Chuck, we live in a time of great comfort and safety. And thank God, by the way. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. It's a great blessing. But for most of history, life was short and brutal and very, very tough. I mean, I read years ago that the average lifespan in the Roman Empire was 22. I read in ancient Greece it was 35. And we don't know how accurate those figures are, but you get the idea. It wasn't like today. And you might die in warfare back then. It was not uncommon. You might have known people who died in warfare or due to violence for some other reason. People were dropping like flies from all sorts of diseases. The infant mortality rate was high. Children dying from childhood diseases was very, very common. But these things just don't bedevil us in the same way today. Or women dying during childbirth. That also was not uncommon for most of human history. So we have these comfortable lives, and we have this very, very high expectation for safety, and unfortunately, that can be our undoing, because was it Jefferson who said anyone who would sacrifice liberty for security doesn't deserve either? I always forget if that was Jefferson or Franklin.
Well, it was Franklin, yeah. 1775. Go ahead.
Very good, Chuck. You're becoming like a computer there.
It's one of my two things that I have posted in here. That's the one of them, and the other one. The other one, you ready for this one? A man's right rests in three boxes, the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box.
I knew that
Frederick
was coming.
Douglas,
yeah, I've heard that one.
And then I've got good old Ben there with what you just said, and you're absolutely right. But boy, people, you know, you've got to give it up. It's for all the other people. That's kind of what they're doing. You're protecting everyone else. You know, go ahead and put it on. Get this shot. And then you just mentioned about the other ones, the COVID variant is not as strong. Oh, got to have another shot for that one. Yes, okay. And this one will be more powerful, yes. And then when you get to 12, what happens? Wow.
Yeah, not only that, I'm not the first one to make this point, but whatever happened to that rallying cry, my body, my choice. You can't tell me what to do with my own body. If it's a personal medical decision, that's between me and my doctor, and it's not the government's business. And, of course, the left is going to say, well, wait a second, you can spread this communicable disease, and you can threaten our lives and kill us. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, studies have shown Rochelle Walensky, the quack who runs the CDC, said herself that being vaccinated does not stop you from contracting or spreading the virus, okay? So it doesn't make any sense to force vaccines on people. Masks are not efficacious, so there's no good reasoning behind this. But all of that, my body, my choice, went out the window. I mean, that was fine when you were talking about something that wasn't actually your body, because if you're talking about prenatal infanticide, a.k.a. abortion, you're talking about a body within a body. That's actually what you're talking about. But now that's all gone. And, you know, I also point out in my article, though, you know, people have this high expectation for safety, and it's understandable given the time in which we live, Chuck, but this is exacerbated by the fact that to moderns, where relativism reigns, everything is relative. And like I always say, ultimately, they make everything relative to themselves. And if you're talking about people, Chuck, to whom microaggressions are a real problem and committing them warrants punishment, then to them, well, their COVID experience really is like the Black Plague. I mean, it's like, where's my safe space? Socially distance, wear a mask. You know, as I put it in my article, their subjective COVID reality is as bad as the objective medieval bubonic mortality. And it's like that when you're self-centered, Chuck, and the whole world begins and ends with your own feelings. So anyway,
well, I'll tell you,
you know, the bottom line.
As we come to the break, do the final line. Boy, that tells you right there. Libertarians.
Yeah.
Libertarians will consider this overly intrusive. And as someone says, what's for sure, however, is if we don't kill COVID paranoia, it will kill us. All right. Hey, and guess what? I just found your latest there. All right. Biden lied, people died. So we're going to get to that one, too. And maybe touch on the boomer. What's wrong with millennials? Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Dobby fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic. Market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our peach Bellini martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, the new American. All right. Hey, Selwyn, I'll leave it up to you, sir. I got to tell you, I love both of these. Well, I don't necessarily like your new one, but it's a great report, put it like that. It's disturbing. Biden lied, people died. But a boomer, what's wrong with millennials? But what's wrong with boomers? I like that one, too. Which one would you like to throw upon us, and then we'll also get into the one that we leave out? It's up to you, sir.
Well, let's go boom, boom with the boomers. How about that?
All right, yeah. Find out who really started all this. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's at fault?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was focusing on this piece at the American Thinker written by this fellow, and he was talking about, let me just see what his name was here because it escapes me, yet. Rob Jenkins. Anyway, he's a baby boomer himself, and he talks about how the baby boomers in general did a very, very bad job raising the millennial generation. And what he writes is, quote, if you're over 50, you might remember occasionally seeing small children throw temper tantrums in public 25 or 30 years ago and wondering what those kids would be like when they grew up. Well, now you know. Then he writes, the problem is twofold. First, we baby boomers raised a generation of selfish, entitled brats. Second, in their entitled brattiness, an alarming percentage of that generation, the millennials, has embraced socialism. So, you know, the bottom line is, he then talks about correctly how socialism isn't just evil, Chuck. I mean, its adherents killed 100 million people during the 20th century in so-called communist countries. We know about that. But the ideology is also childish. And as he put it, quote, the ideology's adherents seem perpetually stuck in preschool, demanding that everyone receive exactly the same number of cookies and insisting that it's not fair that Susie is prettier, Jimmy can run faster, and Rachel is better at flashcards. Well, not only that, more ironic still, he points out, Chuck, is that a lot of millennials tend to have two desires that completely and totally conflict with each other. One is they want to live in some kind of socialist utopia where they're taken care of, where people are from cradle to grave. And the other is that they want to become internet millionaires. And I think we've all heard this.
Yeah.
And of course,
mm-hmm. That kind of
cut
out.
Internet
they
millionaires.
Want to become internet millionaires. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, those dreams, as Jenkins put it, they cancel each other out because you can't have entrepreneurship without free markets. And, of course, socialism is all about leveling people, redistributing wealth. So, you know, the thing is, if you see young people polled, though, Chuck, they don't even really understand this. They don't understand what socialism is. It just sounds good to them, the word. Oh, well, it sounds very social. What's wrong with being social, right? Take the social, add an ism, and that's it. You've got your system for your government and your whole civilization. But, you know, it's interesting because I've long said myself, Chuck, that one way in which you can understand so-called leftists is that they're stuck in a state of childhood. These are people who didn't really grow up. And I mean that quite literally. I'm not engaging in hyperbole now. I mean, like I put it in my article, they haven't been told no very much. Many millennials have been so coddled, raised so permissively, Chuck, that they've never been forced to grow up. This is how I put it in my article. They haven't learned to delay gratification. They haven't been told no very much. So what happens? They can't tolerate it when the market says no and doesn't quickly gratify them. I mean, the idea is, oh, I should have that nice house. I should have that 300K salary right out of college. I mean, there are a lot of people who really, really think that way. And I was saying, Chuck, that leftists are overgrown children. Well, think about it. They're impulsive like children, right? We see that. They operate emotionally and ignore reason like children. Conservatives lament that all the time. They'll say, well, you can't reason with these liberals. You know, you try to, and they just go off half-cocked. They give you some kind of an emotional response. These leftists, what do? They kowtow to their whimsy like children. They have temper tantrums like children. And where have we seen that? Remember when Trump won, Chuck? We saw all those videos online of those leftists becoming apoplectic, I mean, screaming and just having these tantrums. I mean, this is not normal behavior, and it's not adult behavior.
Let me ask you this real quick, a perfect example. Yeah. And it's terrible that an old lady would do it. Nancy Pelosi tearing up the, what was the event, the State of the Union address. Remember that? That's like,
yes.
You know, tearing up the little... You know, the little kid. Man, I'm going to tear it up. And that'll show him that it's not really real. Boy, I'll tell you. Perfect example.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I agree with you. And, you know, I really think what happened there was that Trump got her goat. You see, the whole thing, Chuck, is that if you're debating someone, I know they weren't debating, but I'm just giving you an example, and you can get that person to become emotional, what happens is he's going to forget himself very often, and he'll let his true self show through, and he'll do things that really aren't very prudent that he wouldn't do otherwise. And I think that's what happened with Pelosi there, because Trump really, really got under her skin, and that's not hard to do because she is very thin-skinned. But anyway, okay, so we've been beating up here on the millennials. Now, the thing is, though, in my article I pointed out, you know, that's not really entirely fair. And the reason for that is because before we lower the boom and the boomer on the younger, as I put it, remember that the younger people also have their generational put-downs. You might have heard this online, Chuck. They'll say, okay, boomer. You know, that's a sarcastic little comment they make, and they use it to mock their elders' attitudes. And then I think back, and I put this in my article, Chuck, to this really interesting documentary that was created by Steve Bannon, believe it or not, and it's called Generation Zero. And anyway, what it does is it examines our general societal decay and also the 2007-2008 financial crisis, and it puts the onus for those things mainly on the baby boom generation. And as Steve Bannon put it, he was the writer and director, and again, I want to emphasize he's a boomer himself. He said his is, quote, the most spoiled, most self-centered, most narcissistic generation the country has ever produced. But you see, here's the whole thing now, and I put this in my article also. We should ask, though, before we excoriate the next generation, Chuck, who raised them? Well, the boomers raised the millennials, and who raised the, quote, spoiled, unquote, boomers? Well, the greatest generation did, huh? Were they really the greatest generation? Now, I'm not putting them down. My parents are of that generation. And believe me, they have it all over my generation. I understand that. My point is this. You know, you have to understand that it's very, very typical for people to lament the next generation's character. But just complaining about the next generation doesn't do any good. And you also have to understand that there are two mistakes that are made here, Chuck, very, very often when people analyze this. The first is to figure that since every generation gripes about the next generation, and since you see this phenomenon basically in many times and places, that it's all just perception and empty talk. There's nothing to it. The more things change, the more they stay the same. That's the first mistake. The second mistake, Chuck, is to just assume reflexively that your own generation is the gold standard. The problem is those other people, right? Okay, so I address these in my article, and what I point out is the first mistake really, really must be understood. The reason why they make that mistake is they don't think, well, wait a second, if people didn't change character-wise, okay, then how is it that civilizations change? How is it that they change radically and they rise, they mature, they plateau, they decline and fall? I mean, If people didn't change, Rome should still be the world's dominant power, right? So what's really going on here is the sameness assumption, Chuck, is like this. It's much like hearing an elderly man complain about aches and pains and declining vigor, and then saying, old guys always say that in every time and place, blah, blah, blah. There can't be anything to it. Well, no, we know that elderly people say that in every time and place for a very good reason, because aging is a repeating process. And this is the same thing. Generation-oriented lamentation is also repeated because of repeating process. And that repeating process is civilizational aging. What I mentioned earlier, that rise-to-fall life cycle. Okay, now what about the second mistake? Why do people tend to view their own generation as ideal? Well, the answer to that is very, very obvious, because they grow up with the norms of their time, of their youth, and they just become accustomed to those things. It's sort of like a tadpole, Chuck, that spawned in a polluted pond. He doesn't know anything but that. Pollution is just the status quo to him. And then if you put him in a pond that's polluted differently, only then maybe will he notice it. Or even if you put him in a clean pond, who knows? He might say, ooh, this is really different, or let's apply this to people. You know, people will say this is different. Why? They see purity, and they mistake that for what? Sometimes banality. They'll say, oh, that's so boring. So that's the whole thing. We're used to the norms that we grew up with, and we don't really apply the yardstick to the situation that we should, that would reveal who really is at fault and to what degree, okay? And the reason for this, again, gets back to, at least part of it, to the relativism that has swept our age, Chuck. You know, because when you view everything as relative, when you, like that ancient Greek philosopher Protagoras, believe that man is the measure of all things, then you will tend to use the norms of your, quote, time as your yardstick. And then, of course, you'll see those norms as being ideal, because how can a yardstick not conform perfectly to itself? So how can you really judge the generations intelligently? Well, you need what I called in my piece, Chuck, a morality stopwatch. Because it's just like with running, like actual running. How could we know whether or not the modern running times records are better than the times from many decades ago? How could we know that if we didn't have stopwatches? We couldn't. Well, you need to have a morality stopwatch to judge what we're talking about here. And we actually do have that. It's called truth. Truth, which is universal, it's transcendent, it's unchanging. It's the same in every time and place. And defining it further, Chuck, we have these elements of truth that we call objectively good moral habits, virtues. And I have a comprehensive list in my piece. They would be faith, hope, honesty, charity, courage, justice, temperance, prudence, chastity, diligence, patience, kindness, forgiveness, humility, and love. Okay, so now when you have this yardstick, you really can judge the generations, okay? And then you see when you apply it that, yeah, okay, these younger generations are lacking, but you know what? My generation is lacking too, and I shouldn't be yearning for, quote, the good old days. I should be yearning for the good eternal truth. That's what I should be yearning for. And, you know, I can't really necessarily provide here a comprehensive rundown of, let's say, a given generation's flaws. But let's go back to something that writer Jenkins, Chuck, mentioned earlier, that lament, that socialist lament, that it's not fair that Susie is prettier, Jimmy can run faster, and Rachel is better at flashcards. Okay, well, the people who complain like that don't complain, Chuck, when they're superior in an area, do they? No, they're only disturbed when other people have more than they do. And when we apply that morality stopwatch, that ultimate yardstick, we know why. It's because they're evidencing why British statesman Winston Churchill called socialism, quote, the gospel of envy. This is all driven by envy. That's what lies at the heart of leftism, at the heart of socialism, when you get right down to it. In fact, I'll cite here this great, great article by Peter Schweitzer from, I think, 2007, titled, Chuck, I've mentioned it before, Don't listen to the liberals. Right-wingers really are nicer people, latest research shows. And what he pointed out in that article is that they did studies, and they found that left-wingers were what I just said. They're much more envious than so-called conservatives are. In fact, they conducted this little study, and it was a game where you could take away from a competitor his money, more of his money, if you gave up a little of yours. And left-wingers were much more likely to choose that option because they just didn't like the fact that others have more than they do. But here's the thing we have to understand. How do you deal with envy? Envy is forestalled by the virtue of kindness. The virtues negate these flaws. And that's why we have to realize civilizing children, which is what you have to do when you raise them, is not a mysterious process, Chuck. It literally means instilling them with virtue, modeling virtue for them. And insofar as this is not done, they're going to end up being vice-ridden creatures who will be attracted to a lie. It might be socialism, it might be something else, but it'll be some lie, Chuck, that corresponds to and preys upon their lacking, wanting character. And this is so important because this is what civilization hinges upon. This is why Ronald Reagan said freedom is always just one generation away from being extinguished. He said that because you fail to raise a generation properly, and that's what literally can happen. So anyway, that's the yardstick you need to apply, the yardstick of virtue, the yardstick of truth. And if you do that, it becomes quite clear what's been going on in our civilization for a long time. We have been witnessing a steady degeneration of the generations for ages. And the truth is, the greatest generation was probably the one that founded this nation. Then the ones that built it subsequently did a great job, too. But our American pond since then, I mentioned that tadpole, has become progressively, Chuck, more polluted. And now we're at a point where, as communist agitator Willie Munzenberg reportedly put it, he said, we're going to make the West so corrupt that it stinks. And unfortunately, that's where we are. So we have a lot of work to do. We've got to focus on virtue. Otherwise, everything else is for naught. You can't make America great again unless you make America moral again.
Rediscover God, truth, and virtue, as Selwyn Duke puts it. All right, we're going to be back, and very little time left on the other side of the break, but we'll touch on your latest article just real quick. Have about 3 or 4 minutes to talk about that. Selwyn Duke, and it's selwynduke.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6. and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Doop, 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 Duke-a-bell, doop, doop, Duke-a-bell, doop, doop, Duke-a-bell, doop.
Yes, sir. And we got him, Selwyn Duke, the new American, thenewamerican.com. And Selwyn, I finally got to check out your brand new When Biden Lied, People Died. Joe knew in July the Taliban takeover was intimate. And it's, what, let me see here real quick. I have the exact date. I probably had it on the right page and I turned, yes. July 23rd is when Biden knew that everything wasn't going right, and he made a telephone call, right, between him and Afghanistan's President Ghani. And yep. Unfortunately, it's out. And the other unfortunate thing, it's not going to be like, you know, Trump talking about, hey, how's your wife? It's more than that, but there won't be a hearing on it, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Trump was impeached over a phone call that there was nothing wrong with. And meanwhile, this phone call reveals that Biden lied, or his handlers lied, because Biden really doesn't know what's going on. But, you know, it's funny because in his speech on Tuesday, he basically blamed the Americans who were stuck in Afghanistan. He said, well, they were warned to leave, blah, 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 19 times or something like that.
Yeah.
And as I asked sarcastically in my article, well, had they warned the $83 billion in military equipment they left behind to leave too? And did this hardware, which makes the Taliban one of the world's best-armed fighting forces, also insist on staying? And I'm making the point that obviously they goofed up, either that or they did all this purposely for some reason. But the bottom line is you can't really blame these Americans who decided it was okay to stay, because Biden himself was saying, well, no, a Taliban takeover is not imminent. The Afghan security forces can do the job. That's what he said. He said that. When was the date here? On July 8th. And then that was echoed by General Mark Milley, that fool who talks about white rage, on July 21st. He basically said the same thing. Okay, so should the Americans in Afghanistan been less confident than the commander-in-chief, Chuck, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. But then we mentioned, we know for a fact that Biden knew by the 23rd that the fall of Afghanistan was going to happen soon after we pulled out because of that phone call. And here's the phone call that it was leaked he had with former Afghan president Ghani. Ghani said, quote, we are facing a full-scale invasion composed of Taliban, full Pakistani planning and logistical support, and at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists, predominantly Pakistanis, thrown into this. That's what Ghani said himself. And then what did Biden do in response? Well, I'm going to have to make it quick, but he just told Ghani to focus on perception, on optics. He said, quote, I need not tell you that the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. And there is a need, whether it is true or not, there is a need to project a different picture. That's what he said. And he was doing the same thing to us Americans, projecting a different picture. So that's why I said Biden lied and people died. It's just shameful.
And you know, yeah, as we wrap it up, talking about Miley and his critical race theory and how, oh, that's number one in the military. And you do it perfectly. Those who believe a boy can become a girl just by willing it can believe anything. So no wonder they thought they had it all under control. Yeah. Hey, Selwyn, thank you very much. Look forward to our next visit, sir.
Same here. God bless, Chuck. God bless.
God bless you. Selwyn Duke. And it's S-E-L-W-I-N Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Thank you for listening, and God bless the United States of America.